Welcome to the Council of Trent podcast, a production of Catholic Answers.
It is Free for All Friday on the Council of Trent podcast, and I'm your host, Catholic Answers apologist and speaker, Trent Horn. My wife was talking to me the other day. She said, she was at home. I think I was away having one of my nights out where I go to Dave & Buster's and shoot the dinosaurs on the dinosaur Jurassic Park arcade game, which is really my favorite arcade. I probably play, I don't know, it costs. At Dave & Buster's, they do this thing where, you know, it's not like 75 cents or a dollar to play this game. It's, you know, 8.6 credits. How much is that worth? I have no idea. So take my money, Dave & Buster's. I'm sure it's probably something like, I don't know, $1.50 maybe, or on half price days, it's like 75 cents. But you see this happens a lot in so-called freemium games online. You know, you spend money, you spend, you know, 20 bucks to buy 100 credits. Or no, not to buy, now that would be easy. There you would know 20 bucks, 100 credits, that's 20 cents a credit right there. You could do the math in your mind, but, you know, they try to trick you. So say, oh, well, for $20, you get 84 credit, you know, you get 78 credits. How much? Well, what's the exchange rate between credits and dollars here? I don't know. So then when you're in the game and you buy with the credits, you don't know, like, oh, this will cost 12 credits. So it doesn't hurt as much when you're spending money. It's like, well, it's just 12 credits. It's like, well, it's $2.50. Well, hold on a minute. I could get a double cheeseburger at McDonald's for $2.50. It's $2.29 actually on the menu, but I go to McDonald's too much. I go there to get the McDonald's Coke, by the way. McDonald's Coke is amazing. They chill the line. It's the right amount of sugar in it. It's an excellent kind of thing. So where am I going with this? Well, I was out and I came back and Laura said, I was just watching YouTube videos. I watched those Wendover productions you talked about on the last Free for All Friday. Is this how you just learn about stuff? You just watch these kinds of videos on YouTube? And I said to Laura, yeah, basically. I just spend my time, and an easy way for me to learn all kinds of, I mean, the internet is great. There's so many perils and awful things on the internet, but a great way for you to just grow in knowledge is to find interesting, for me, interesting Wikipedia articles and interesting YouTube videos are a way, like sometimes when I eat. Now, I grew up with television as kind of a quasi-babysitter at home sometimes. And so I remember those Saturday mornings watching Garfield the Cat at home, and my parents had the old, we had the Betamax. We were the last people to get anything. Like, we got VHS after everyone moved on. We still had our old Betamax. If you're a listener and you remember what Betamax is, God bless you. We were the last to get DVDs, last to get computers. So I remember watching television and, you know, all this other kinds of stuff. But that, so nowadays, when I would do that when I ate. So now when I have lunch, I have this kind of tick where I need to watch something while I'm eating. It's just comforting to me. Now, I love being at home. Now, at home, I love having dinner with my family, sitting down. They talk about their day. It's nice to have mealtime together. But if in my office, I'm just by myself, and I'm eating my food, I want to have a little video on. So I love to watch stuff and learn things. So I thought it'd be fun Free for All Friday to share with you just another random thing I found on YouTube. And then it made me think of something else that I've studied for a while, not study, but I'm aware of, that I thought you would find interesting. So this is a YouTube channel. It was more active, I don't know, 4 to 5 years ago. They still has a few videos coming up, but the most famous ones are from a few years ago. It's from a blind YouTuber. His name is Tommy Edison. And he's a really affable, nice, funny guy. I love him. I just love watching his videos. I think this guy is hilarious. And he just answers people's questions and talks about what it's like to be blind. And so he's been blind from birth, and he's not legally blind. His corneas have been, I think, grayed over that. I think he can only see maybe little pinpoints of light, but he really can't see anything at all. And he's been blind from birth. And so there's actually a video on here. You should definitely go check out. I think his videos are really neat. There's one where he has a woman come on who became blind when she was 20 years old. And they talk about the difference between being blind from birth and losing your sight later in life, especially as an adult. So they talk, for example, when they dream, Tommy, when he dreams, he obviously doesn't dream in color or dreams in vision. He's never seen anything. When he dreams, in his dreams, he has sensations of his other senses. Like in his dreams, he thinks he's feeling or smelling things or tasting things that aren't really there. Whereas in our dreams, that happens every now and then, where we think we feel, touch, taste something that isn't there. But more often than not, our dreams, we see things. And so the woman who was on his episode, she talked about how now when she dreams, she always dreams in color. She sees in her dreams. And then she's always a little sad when she wakes up. And she, you know, so she remembers that. And so I thought it'd be neat. I wanted to talk about, you know, just share with you some of these videos that I thought were neat from Thomas Edison's experience of being born blind. And then also talk about our senses in general. Because when you lose one sense, your other senses do become heightened. Now, it's not like Daredevil, which is a pretty cool Marvel superhero and Netflix series, you know, where you become some kind of superhero or something. But it's true that you experience the world in a different way, and you really come to rely on these other senses. So I wanted to share some of these clips from the Thomas Edison experience, and then talk about cases where we have different senses and what happens when they can kind of go haywire. So here is the first video. And before I get to these, by the way, big thanks to our subscribers at TrenthornPodcast.com. You've made it possible. We've gone past our goal. In 1 year, I want to get to 1,000 patrons because I want to launch a super special project. I'm still getting the quotes on the project to make sure we can afford this, but I'm really excited about it. So I'm going to get back to you on that. Hopefully next week when these people get back to me. But for now, definitely consider becoming a subscriber at TrenthornPodcast.com, where you get access to bonus study series, content, lots of great things there. So this is the first video I wanted to share, parts of it. This is where Thomas Edison talks about colors. What does color mean to someone who's been blind since birth?
I guess one of the things you guys are the most curious about is color. How does it work for me? What is it? Well, I don't know. I don't have any concept of what it is. I mean, I've never seen anything. Right? There's this whole part of vocabulary, of language, that doesn't mean anything to me. Over the years, just people have tried and tried and tried to explain color to me, and I just don't understand it. I think the best way to show you is to try and explain to someone who's never heard before what the ocean sounds like or what the birds sound like. And that's where color is for me. Because somebody who's never heard doesn't know what those things are, has no concept, none. And people will try and explain a sense with another sense. It's like the way this smells, maybe that's what a particular color, what? So you're gonna tell me you're gonna explain what color looks like by my nose? That doesn't make any bloody sense at all. So when somebody says something's red to me, I don't quite get it. I know that red is fire, or a stoplight is red. Or when someone says you're in the red, you know, that means you're in some trouble, like financial trouble. Again, just stuff that I picked up from hearing about it, but I don't know what it looks like.
So I think that's actually helpful if you have a blind friend or know someone who's blind, especially someone who's blind from birth rather than became blind later in life, because they still, if they became blind, especially in late childhood or adulthood, they will still remember concepts like colors, things like that. Now, some things, I mean, shapes are something, and Tommy can draw squares and circles. Shape is something that a blind person can understand quite easily because it's tactile. You could create shapes with blocks. And so if I had to imagine, like, and I'll play with you another video here about visualization, about how a blind person visualizes things. Because if I ask you to imagine me sitting here recording this podcast episode right now, you might, you know, you've probably seen me maybe on YouTube videos or something like that. You have an image of me. You can think of a desk. You can think of a microphone, and you can roughly approximate what that might look like. Now, you might not get the exact model of the microphone right, or the computer that's sitting here in front of me. But then to ask a blind person to visualize these things, if I ask Thomas Edison, well, what do you see if you think of me, Trent Horn, doing this episode right now? What does that look like? If I had to imagine it, it might look like this line drawings almost. And what he says in his episode on visualization is like when he visualizes something like a banana, what is like, think of a banana. Now, you and I think of the yellow shape. It pops in our head, right? But for Thomas Edison and for a person blind from birth, what he visualizes, like, well, he can't visualize it. I'll say, think of a banana. What he thinks of is the feel of a banana peel. The shape, its weight, the nub at the end, the smell of a banana after you've left it out. So it's funny, when I ask you, think of a banana, you probably think of a picture of a banana, like you saw in the grocery store magazine or at the store. But you don't think of, it's not the first thing that comes in your mind is the smell or the mushiness of a banana. So that's something that can be done for a lot of small objects. But in this video, he talks about, well, here, we'll try something larger.
How about a car?
See, a car is more difficult for me to imagine because I can't hold it in my hand, right? Like a big station wagon or an SUV or something like that. But I think of the parts, right? So I think of the door of where I'm gonna get in. I think about the seats inside. You know, maybe over on the driver's side, I think about the steering wheel and all that kind of stuff that's over there. But, you know, and the pedals on the floor. But I can't think of it as a whole. When I drew the car in a past video, I had to think about all the different pieces of the car, right? The different parts of it and how I could put it together on a piece of paper for you to look at. But when I think of a car, I just think about one part at a time. I mean, again, I can't imagine an entire car because I've never touched an entire car all at once.
Here's one more that I want to share before I talk about how our senses, imagine if you don't have your sense of sight, but also it's very strange if your sense of sight goes awry. So I'm going to talk about that here in a sec. But this is one that I thought was really amusing and really, it really showcases this guy's personality, why I like him a lot. It's about how blind people discover their sexual orientation. So when did you first, when did you first realize you were attracted to men or attracted to women? You know, I remember, I think it was about the fifth grade. And I remember seeing girls, my female teachers, and suddenly, you know, my heart is beating faster. I think, so I was little, fifth grade, fifth grade, sixth grade, that's like 10, 11. And you can't help but not look at them like, well, this is different. And it's such a confusing. So my heart really goes out to anybody going through puberty. It's such an awkward and difficult time, but it's something we all have to go through. But when I remember what it was like to, you know, and you probably remember this too, when's the first time you remember you liked someone, you know, liked them? Remember elementary school? Well, do you like Frankie? Yeah, I guess. No, do you like him? You know, when did you first like somebody? It was probably the sight of them triggered something in you. But what if you've never seen anyone? What if you don't see? What is that like? So here's Tommy talking about that.
To give you my own personal experience. I can't speak for anybody else on this one. I'll just tell you how I knew what my preference was and is. So growing up, the things that I learned were all based on my surroundings. So my parents were straight, all their friends were straight, all the characters I saw in television and movies were all straight too, and that sort of helped to steer me in a particular direction, the direction that I went. This may not work for other people, but for me, it was just a thing that felt right to me. It was a thing that made sense, and so that's the path I chose. As I got to be a teenager and start talking to girls, you know, then the experience got to be a little different, right? Hormones are starting to fly around and things, and starting to get those butterflies and starting to feel this sort of twinge of, boy, I like her, she's cool, you know? And that's one of those experiences that I never got from my guy friends. So in school, for example, I can't look across the room and go, oh, I like her, I gotta go talk to her, or, you know, she's pretty, or this kind of thing. No, for me, it's all about conversation, right? And if I talk to somebody and we start to click and we, you know, feel the same way about certain things, or, you know, if somebody's just got a cool energy to them or somebody's extremely funny, you know, that's how I get to see whether or not I like somebody. And then I have to take the chance and say, you know, would you like to come to the, you know, the eighth grade dance with me? And then we could stand against the wall and never dance together. It's like the smell and the sounds of a woman, like all the fragrance, right? The perfume and stuff. It's just lovely. It's so nice. And of course, some are better than others. And some people wear a little bit more than they should. But, you know, it's all part of the experience. The sounds of a woman, like the sound a woman's shoes make on the floor sometimes, you know, like on a cement floor, you know, in an office building. Oh, it's a great sound. I just love it. Plus, girls and women just have different stuff than guys do. And that was attractive too. And these are some of the things that helped me figure out what my preference was. That's just what I was drawn to. I just liked girls and women. I love what they had to say. I liked listening to them talk. I liked hearing their stories. It's no more complicated than that. So that's really about it. You know, that's my story, and that is how I knew. Now, I'm sure that there are other things that I'm totally not aware of and things that are going through other people's heads that I don't know, but it's such a difficult question to answer, it really is. But I will say this, I don't think sight plays into it. I really don't. Without sight, I was able to determine what I liked, who I liked, And honestly, I don't believe sight played into this.
So there's another video. I love it. He rides a roller coaster for the first time and he's going up the lift and he tells the guy next to him, he's like, "We're really high up. Oh, wow. Look at that view." It laughs. Oh, it reminds me of John chapter 9 when Jesus is walking by the man blind from birth. People ask, you know, "Hey, Rabbi, why is this guy blind? Did his mom sin or his dad sin?" And Jesus said, "No, not neither one. This man was made blind to glorify God." Now, I don't know Tommy Edison's religious views, but I think this can be an example that even when we face something like a disability or something very difficult in our lives, whether it hobbles us or not, whether it's going to be something that completely takes away our ability to be happy and joyful in this life, a lot of times that comes from within us. Whether we're going to decide to do that, whether we're going to ask God for his grace to accept a cross he's given us or to spurn the cross that he's given us because we have our own sense of we want to be happy and we want this in life. And each of us has different crosses. It may not be a disability. It could be an obligation to a family member who is in trouble, or it could be something financial. It could be a social issue one is confronted with. It could be a lot of different things. But it's just nice to see people who, in many other cases, people would maybe be very depressed or live a very sad and solemn life, thinking especially, you know, God is wrong them or this isn't fair. And I'm sure Tommy Edison has hard days. Everybody has hard days. But to find someone who can still have authentic joy in their place, you know, whatever place they have in life, whatever life God has dealt them, whatever's been given to them, it's refreshing to see. So that's Tommy Edison Experience. You might want to check out on YouTube. The other thing I wanted to share with you is a book by Oliver Sacks. When I was watching this and he was talking about seeing and visualizing and thinking, it made me think of this book. This is a classic. Oliver Sacks is a neurologist who wrote a book. It was a series of narratives about unusual cases of people who had brain injuries that resulted in their sensory inputs and their brain processing kind of going haywire a little bit, leading to very unusual results. And so it's an anthology. And the book, definitely read it. It's a wonderful read. You should definitely check it out. The book is called The Man Who Mistook His Wife for a Hat. That's actually the first story in the book. It's about someone with visual agnosia, someone who sees things, who is blind almost, but in a different way. So you see someone who's, you know, blind from an accident, or someone like Tommy Edison who just has no visual input. He cannot see, his eyes do not process information, and his brain does not process information. But it's possible. It's possible that your brain cannot process information, even though your eyes can. So that's a different kind of blindness that people have. It's related to visual agnosia, the inability to process information that your eyes see. So your eyes are working fine. It's your brain that's not seeing things. And so the anthology is called The Man Who Mistook His Wife for a Hat. Let me read the, see if I have the beginning here. So here's the beginning of it. Dr. P was a musician of distinction, well known for many years as a singer, and then at the local school of music as a teacher. It was here in relation to his students that certain strange problems were first observed. Sometimes a student would present himself and Dr. P would not recognize him, or specifically, would not recognize his face. The moment the student spoke, he would be recognized by his voice. Such incidents multiplied, causing embarrassment, perplexity, fear, and sometimes comedy. For not only did Dr. P increasingly fail to see faces, but he saw faces when there were no faces to see. Genially, Magoo-like, you know, Mr. Magoo. "Oh, yeah, she here?" When in the street, he might pat the heads of water hydrants and parking meters, taking these to be the heads of children. He would amiably address carved knobs on the furniture and be astounded when they did not reply. At first, these odd mistakes were laughed off as jokes, not least by Dr. P himself. So it goes on to say, you know, well, is he just, you know, having dementia? His musical powers were as dazzling as ever. He did not feel ill. He had never felt better. And the mistakes were so ludicrous and so ingenious that they could hardly be serious or betoken anything serious. And so he goes on and goes to see Sacks and tries to find out, well, what's going wrong? Why can't I recognize people? Why can't I recognize things? So Sacks later goes on to talk about an experiment he had with him. Sacks writes, "I took out a pack of cards. All of these he identified instantly. including the Jacks, Queens, Kings, and the Joker. But these, after all, are stylized designs, and it was impossible to tell whether he saw faces or merely patterns. I decided I would show him a volume of cartoons which I had in my briefcase. Here again, for the most part, he did well. Churchill's cigar, Schnozzle's nose. As soon as he picked out a key feature, he could identify the face. But cartoons, again, are formal and schematic. It remained to be seen how he could do with real faces, realistically represented. I turned on the television, keeping the sound off, and found an early Betty Davis film. A love scene was in progress. Dr. P failed to identify the actress. This could have been because she had never entered his world. What was more striking was that he failed to identify the expressions on her face or her partner's. Though in the course of a single torrid scene, these passed from sultry yearning through passion, surprise, disgust, and fury to a melting reconciliation. Dr. P could make nothing of any of this. He was very unclear as to what was going on, or who was who, or even what sex they were. His comments on the scene were positively Martian. So what's interesting here in the case of Dr. P is you have a kind of blindness. Now, you know, we're listening to Thomas Edison and being blind from birth or legally blind, just you have the inability to process visual stimuli. Your eyes cannot take in light, and so your brain has nothing to register or understand. But there can be cases where your eyes are seeing things, but the brain is not understanding it. And so Dr. P appears to have what's called visual agnosia, which is the impairment in recognizing visually presented objects. It's usually associated with damage to the posterior occipital or temporal lobe in the brain, you know, some kind of either congenital damage or from an injury later in life that can prevent the brain from recognizing things that it sees. Other people have said that this, the Dr. P case, is similar to what's called prosopagnosia. So I think a lot of people say, well, no, it's similar to visual agnosia because he thinks that objects are people, even something that might kind of look like it has a face. Think, oh, well, there's little Johnny over there. And it's actually just like a toy Johnny, you know, one of those, you know, those little turtle slow down signs. I don't know about you, but I always have this urge to run over the little slow down turtle signs in neighborhoods. It's like a little turtle kid with the signs like, slow down, mister. I want to just barrel right over him. I don't know. Oh, my goodness. But, so that'd be visual agnosia, the kind of blindness that you can't understand the objects that your eyes are seeing, but your brain's not processing. Related to visual agnosia is prosopagnosia, and this would be called face blindness. It's the inability to recognize faces. And so this is something Dr. P seemed to struggle with. He couldn't recognize a person's face, at least not immediately. And so in some extreme cases of prosopagnosia, a person, you just imagine all the other people around you had a, this is a creepy thing to imagine. Imagine what life would be like if everybody looked like Slender Man. Now, don't Google Slender Man. You won't be able to sleep at night. But imagine people, instead of eyes, nose, and a mouth, it was just skin. It was just, you know, like their backside. And that was their face. And people just walked around and talked to you. It'd be really confusing. The only way you could identify people was, oh, you wear that jacket. Or, oh, you wear your hair that way. Or, oh, you have this kind of perfume. And so that would be a very severe case of prosopagnosia. On the other extreme end, there are people who are incredibly good at remembering faces. Incredibly good. The New Scotland Yard, which one of my, I have all these little, if I wasn't an apologist, what kind of job would I want to be? I really wish I could work for Scotland Yard, that the police unit in the United Kingdom. That way I could kick down a door. You know, it's always cool to say, FBI, put your hands in the air, but be able to say, Scotland Yard, stop right there. I'm like, yes. So some Scotland Yard has a division of people who are super recognizers, really good at recognizing people's faces and lineups to find the bad guys. And in between, I think a lot of us have varying degrees of we're really good at picking faces and some of us are just not. And frankly, for me, I honestly say I have kind of a moderate prosopagnosia. It's kind of revealing. The more and more I do this podcast, you guys are going to know more about me than some of my friends and family, because every week I got to come up with something to share with you all. But sometimes I'll go to events and I'll meet people and I'll see them and they remember me, but I don't remember them. Now, when I go to events, I mean, I meet thousands of people every year. It's always hard to slot them in my head. And if I don't remember somebody, even someone I've met several times, sometimes I have a hard time recalling and I feel bad. I really don't want to offend them. And I think some people can take offense at that if you don't remember them, because they take it as a sign that you don't care about that relationship, you don't care about them, they're not worth remembering. And that's not the case at all. All our brains work in strange ways. And if you've listened to this podcast enough, you know my brain works in a very strange way. So I remember the things I can remember well are things usually that I've read, text in books that I've read. Aside from that, things that I've heard, lectures, I can remember that decently well. But there's other things that I just don't process very well. And one of those is faces. Just I can recall text. I remember there was someone who called the radio show, Jeffrey J. Louder, who is he's a blogger at Secular Outpost. He's a really good atheist writer that I really enjoy. And he called the show, and I recognized it was him, not from his voice, but he used a series of words that were similar to what he had written in an article that I had read a few years ago, and then I could place that it was him. But then when I go out and meet people, someone says, "Oh, remember me?" A lot of times it's not their face that flashes me back to when I met them. It's their tone of voice. Their voice, I remember it, and it flashed me back when I talked with them, or a series of words they used, or sometimes an article of clothing or an earring or a scarf or things like that. So that's just kind of me. So if I meet you and I fail to remember who you are, please, I beg of you, do not take it personally. That just could be my prosopagnosia, my moderate prosopagnosia or face blindness. But I mean, it's not severe. I still remember a fair number of people. But the thing is, my memory is a funny thing. I've told you guys this before. I can remember lots of long-term things, but I have to write down short-term stuff, errands, things that have to be done, because otherwise they will be gone. They'll be gone out of my short-term memory. And that's just what I have to do. And we all have to find ways to work around the different things that we have. Another example of blindness that I wanted to talk about, the last example, is something called blind sight. So we've talked about where, you know, you have someone like Tommy Edison, whose, you know, brain doesn't process seeing. His brain's probably perfectly healthy. It's just his eyes don't get visual input or stimulation. His eyes can't see. Then you have other cases where your brain does not process things correctly, like with visual agnosia or prosopagnosia. You have your eyes are working, but your brain doesn't recognize the visual inputs it's receiving and gives you wrong information as a result. This last one's called blindsight. This is where your eyes work and your brain is also working fairly well, but it's not sending the information to your consciousness, to your conscious thought. It's keeping it in your subconscious. So let's see here. This is from Wikipedia, the article on blindsight and the experiments. A lot of what we know about how blindsight works is from experiments on monkeys. The idea here is just that there are cases where people can see, but they don't realize they can see. They think they're blind, but they really aren't. Their eyes process information. Their brain doesn't see it. There's like a wall between the sensory input. So they might say, I don't see anything. And you throw a ball at them that they don't hear, and they still raise their hands to try to catch it reflexively because their brain recognizes the object coming towards them and signals the hands to do something in a protective response. So this is what the monkey experiments showed. One monkey in particular, Helen, could be considered the star monkey in visual research because she was the original blind sight subject. Helen was a macaque monkey that had been decorticated. Specifically, her primary visual cortex was completely removed, blinding her. Nevertheless, under certain specific situations, Helen exhibited sighted behavior. Her pupils would dilate and she would blink at stimuli that threatened her eyes. Furthermore, under certain experimental conditions, she could detect a variety of visual stimuli, such as the presence and location of objects, as well as shape, pattern, orientation, motion, and color. In many cases, she was able to navigate her environment and interact with objects as if she were sighted. So that's something, another interesting case there to see about how blindness and other things work, both traditional blindness and other kinds of blindness that you may not be aware of. So I hope that was helpful for you all today to have just kind of a fun free-for-all Friday. So if you'd like to learn more about that, do check out Oliver Sacks's book, The Man Who Mistook His Wife for a Hat. The Tommy Edison Experience on YouTube is a neat channel to learn about his particular experiences being blind from birth. And the disorders I talked about were visual agnosia and prospagnosia. So maybe in another episode, I'll talk about other things in the Sacks book, like the woman who lost her own body. How does that happen? We'll save that for another Free For All Friday. You guys have been fun. I hope you have a great time. Thank you for your prayers, and I hope you have a very blessed day and a blessed weekend.
If you like today's episode, become a premium subscriber at our Patreon page and get access to member-only content. For more information, visit TrentHornPodcast.com.